always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, hello and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Connecting Faith this Friday. We are getting down to the wire here. Lots of people are busy with last-minute errands and shopping and baking. Lots to do. Most importantly, to celebrate the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so lots and lots to celebrate this weekend. Well, my guest today thought long and hard about what kind of gift they wanted to give this Christmas. And it's different than the gifts that I chose, that I picked out for my family. They decided to give a gift for an orphan, the gift of a family this season. And through an organization called Project 143, these Christian families have agreed to host an orphan, or three in one case, in their homes for up to 6 weeks. Why? To introduce them to so many experiences, but especially to show them the love of Christ through being part of a family. I have two different families represented in the studio today, and you're going to love hearing their stories of offering hope to orphans and how extending that gift has changed their lives as well. So I want to tell you a little bit about them. But first of all, you know, God really did command us to care for widows and orphans. And in the culture of the ancient Jews, he instructed them to care for the widows, to care for the orphans, because these groups did not have anyone to care for them, to take care of them. And so God did command for his people, defend the poor and the fatherless, he says in Psalm 82, do justice to the afflicted and to the needy. And then in Jeremiah 22, I just pulled up one of many verses that says, he defended the cause of the poor and the needy. And so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? And Jesus also encouraged his disciples to defend and to care for those who were in need. And he calls us to do the same. So let me tell you a little bit about the organization that we're going to talk about today and the families who are part of it. The organization is called Project 143. It was founded in 2009 by Tammy Cannon. She visited an orphanage with her husband, Mike, to start the process of adopting her son. But her heart was wrecked after seeing the dozens of children who were all needing a family to love them. And realizing that not every family has the ability to adopt a child, Tammy took her passion for orphans to start a program that allowed these orphans to experience the love of families through hosting. She founded Project 143. It's named for the 143 million orphans who are available worldwide. And that number has actually grown to over 143 million. But that is how the name Project 143 came to be. Today in studio, we have the benefit of talking with a representative from Project 143 who has also hosted two children in her home, and another father who is currently hosting three children in his home this December and January. So let me introduce them to you. Paige Claussen and her husband Chris first learned about Project 143 through a blurb in the bulletin at their home church in St. Louis. In fact, she says it was just a God thing. She doesn't know how that announcement was there in the bulletin, so I'll let her tell a little bit more about that story. It was a season in their lives where adoption and orphans were being highlighted, and they had never heard of hosting, but thought that it might be kind of a natural way to move forward with adoption. So one glance at P143's online photo listing, and the Claussens' hearts were undone at the very thought of these little school-age children being left behind. So they hosted two children from Latvia in the summer and have hosted three other times as well. They ended up adopting two children from Latvia as well, and Paige is now the Midwest Regional Coordinator for Project 143. So welcome, Paige.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My second guest is Tony Collette. Tony's currently hosting three children from Latvia. They've been here for just 1 week, 7 days, and I can't even believe that he's sitting in studio with us today. Tony and his wife, Jody, first became interested in hosting in 2010 through a homeschool group. They've hosted eight children total and right now have those three. So let me start with you, Tony. What first inspired you and your wife to get involved hosting children?
Well, I think the inspiration did come from another family in a homeschool group, and it comes through my wife, Jody. That family hosted and ultimately adopted four kids, and in turn, they inspired many families from the homeschool group to do the same, to host and or adopt. And Jody saw that, and that was the genesis of it for us.
And Paige, can you tell me a little bit more about Project 143? 43. How did it start? What does it provide? What does it allow people to do?
That's a rather large question. Project 143 is available as an opportunity to show families all over the United States the very many children that are available in a couple of different countries each season for hosting. Every year we bring two separate groups or two separate timeframes to the United States from Latvia and from Ukraine. We're looking into China as well. When we bring those groups of children over, there's a preview for the children, let's say in late January, early February, for the children that are coming for the summer or that are available to come for the summer. And then again in the fall for the winter program. So there's a huge opportunity for people to look at a photo listing of hundreds of children at a time and say, oh, there's a child right there that could fit in our family. There's an age that would fit within our children or around our children, or even empty nesters who look and say, I don't really want a young child, but wow, a 15-year-old, I could bring a 15-year-old into my home. And so it's really opening hundreds of doors at a time for people to pour into the lives of a child just for a short season, but to show them something outside of the walls of that orphanage or the walls of that foster care where it may or may not be the only experience that they really can remember in their childhood.
And why that time frame, the 4 to 6 weeks? How did you come up with that time frame?
Well, I believe that's just part of how the country sets. You can only bring them over for so long, sort of a safety net that they're not here for too long, but they're here for just long enough to pour into them, for them to get some language skills under their feet, and be able to really see how well the child gets along with your family and how well they acclimate to our different environment. I mean, there's different foods and different environment for the child to acclimate to. There is an extended hosting over summer, so it can be up to 8 weeks for children who are rehosted. Sometimes the children come back multiple times to the same family, and so it's a longer time for them to be here. But the time frames are set up, again, with the country. They're pretty clear on how long they get to stay and how long before they have to come back, because there are regimented school times that the children have to be back for.
So tell me a little bit about how you got involved. And you said that this announcement kind of showed up in your bulletin. Tell me about that day.
My husband and I had been looking into adopting. It's something we always talked about. But even before we were married, we knew that we wanted to adopt. And, you know, in the process of having your own biological children, you think, oh, we're too busy. We don't have enough money. And the funny thing is, we still don't have enough money. And the Lord has provided every penny that we ever needed to host and to adopt the boys that we have adopted.
So when you saw that announcement in the bulletin, something happened inside you that might have kind of triggered something where you thought that was what you might want to do.
So it's hard not to cry on the air.
No one can see you. No. See, this is great. Except
you can hear me. You can hear me tearing up. So it wasn't the announcement in the bulletin, but I came home that very Sunday and I called Tammy Cannon. And she sent me a link to the photo listing immediately. It took no time at all. I was right on the computer, and the minute I saw their faces, I knew that these children, much like my own children, they were being left behind. How can you say that no one wants a child when they're age 6, age 7, age 15? How can a child be unwanted? And that's the part that really broke my heart. I've had babies. I would love to have more babies. But these babies are just like the ones that I already have. And it was heart-wrecking to know that they were sitting in an orphanage somewhere, that there's no mommy praying over them at night. There's no mommy teaching them what the Bible says. There's no mommy and daddy hugging them every day. And that part was the part that made me know that I had to do something in my own family.
And the age range, I noticed, is 6 to 16. Why is that age range difficult for other people who might be interested in a traditional adoption? Why do those kids get left behind more?
It's the unanswerable question. It really is. It's the same in any country. We see that in the United States foster care system. We see it in the foster care systems in the other countries. Once a child gets to a certain age, I don't know what the mindset is of people that it's harder to adopt an older child. They come with the same baggage, whether they're newborn or they're 5 or they're 10. They each have a little bit different things in their luggage of emotions, you could say. But for some reason, we have a mindset that as soon as they get past age 5 and enter the school-age time, that perhaps it's just too difficult to bring them into your own family. And I can attest from experience that that's just not true.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about more, not only about adoption, but about this opportunity to host, to just bring a child into your home for a short amount of time, expose them to what it is that we have available here in the United States, but really just hearing your family. What is it like to be part of a family? So we're going to hear more about Tony's story and how God led he and his wife to bring some children into their home as well. And if you'd like to kind of weigh in on this, or you have some questions about Project 143 or the other organizations that there are others that host as well, we might be able to answer some of those questions. Give us a call, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
It's not just information, it's transformation.
A lot of things have kind of gone on in the last year or so, the last few years actually. I just needed something different, just kind of was poking around and I found it. The reassurance that the Lord is there with me, listening to the messages all day long, it brings peace to my day. Not only that, I mean, I've been educated. He's there all day, all the time.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
Hi, this is Nancy Lee DeMoss with Revive Our Hearts, remembering the real reason we celebrate Christmas. You know, there's so much happening during the holiday season. It's easy to get caught up in the Christmas cheer and gift giving, but amid all the carols and parties and food is a baby. That baby is Jesus. This is a joyous time of year, but let me ask you, where is your joy coming from? Be sure to keep it focused on celebrating the birth of our Savior.
Great words from Stephen Curtis Chapman. All I really want for Christmas is a family. Well, we're talking to a couple of families today who have provided that wish for some children from Latvia. One of them is Tony Collette, and he and his wife Jody have brought three children in just in the last week to live with them and their family for the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks. How long, Tony?
Total of 4 weeks.
For the next 4 weeks. Tony, tell us a little bit about that decision and how your week has been going so far.
Well, first, as far as our decision goes, it goes back a few years, and we got introduced to this, as I said, through another homeschool family back in 2010. And this was really something that was on my wife's heart and honestly not on my radar. She had some of these thoughts about adoption and a mother's desire to do that. And when we met this other family, you know, through the homeschool group, you know, that caught her attention, and she wanted to host actually in the end of 2009, but I ended up taking my one and only mission trip to Haiti that winter, and so we delayed. And honestly, I think in the back of my head, I thought maybe that would blow over or go away, but it wasn't going to go away.
It wasn't like your kid asking for a puppy.
No,
it was big.
It was in my wife's heart. It was deep in her heart, and it wasn't going to go away. And so, you know, we agreed to host that summer, and, I came at this with, I say nothing. I didn't have any formed opinions about hosting or adoption. I honestly didn't really know what I was getting myself into as the dad. And I would say that I almost, you know, come at it somewhat from a selfishness or a hard-heartedness or whatever. That really wasn't where I was at. And through all these hostings, that's changed. And as far as Project 143, the first times we hosted through another organization. And it got, you know, we did the three hostings. We've been in an adoption mindset, but haven't adopted yet. And I think it got to a hard spot for my wife that, she got to a spot where she felt like either this needed to land on my heart and I needed to lead, or this wasn't going to work. And Or God had to take it from her. But God wasn't going to take it from her. And so he had to put it on my heart. And so like Paige said, you know, long story short, I get to the point where I was the one that found Project 143. I signed up to see the photo listing. And honestly, I didn't fess up to her that I had found that. And because I knew that if at this point in time in our journey, if I brought that up, I had to be serious because I would just be messing with her again. So
you've had people, you've hosted people three separate times. What's one of the benefits of hosting for you, for the family? And then what's one of the benefits for the children?
Well, I think, you know, obviously for the children, I think we're showing them some hope. We're showing them that there's something different. And I guess in our eyes, we look at God's perfect design for family. And for these kids, that perfect design has fallen apart for a multitude of different reasons. And so we can demonstrate to them and we can show them what this family look like. And, you know, we've been my family's been incredibly blessed in many, many ways. And I'm married for almost 24 years. We have extended family where divorce really isn't part of the equation. The blessings are, almost limitless and up to and including, you know, financial resources as well. So we had to we came to a decision as our faith grew as to what to do with those blessings so that we either keep those for ourselves and we consume them or we share them. Mm. And that's where the verses that I get to is when I look at 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, and God tells us to not be those that are rich, to not be arrogant and to put our hope in wealth, but to ultimately, to paraphrase those three verses, is to be generous and willing to share. Mm. And that's where we landed in a general sense. So you couple that with my wife's desire to do this. And, you know, we tried other things and we explored different options for how do you share what's been given to you. And this is where we've landed. Mm. So for me, when I say to you that this wasn't on my heart, God has used these hostings to change me in ways that I'm just incredibly grateful for. They haven't been easy in some respects. I've had to take a hard look at myself and look at where my heart is at and let this change me. And I think it's not only changed me, it's changed my wife, it's changed our relationship together, and it filters in and our kids watch this and they're obviously part of it. And it changes them, too, for the better.
How about you, Paige? What kind of benefit do you think that it brings to your family? And what benefits does it bring to the children who are coming in?
You know, I'm blessed to have experience in both realms. We have two girls that came over for our first hosting. And the wonderful thing about that is that we were able to maintain relationship with them. And I now Skype with the girls on regular occasion. And they tell us what's happening in their lives and the things that they're bearing fruit in. And they got to meet God when they came over. They went to a Bible camp at our church that's fairly unique. And it must be very powerful because every time we talk about that summer, that's what they talk about. Mm. So we had impact globally in two children's lives. And that's what P143 is about, is making an impact in one child, the difference in one child's life. And to see that multiplied is a huge blessing to our hearts. And beyond that, I can agree with everything that Tony said about changing our hearts personally. We thought that we were going to go out and help these orphans. And in reality, the Lord said, look at the change I've made in your hearts as a family. By you said yes to something. You said yes to my heart for the orphan, and I was able to come in and change yours while you were doing it. And it really is about the kids. One of the things the Lord says in Scripture is that he sings over us. And the song that he sang over me when we were having our hardest moments of hosting before we adopted our sons was Jeremy Camp's Next Generation. And I wept because the Lord just showed me that it was never about us, that it was always about where he wanted those boys to end up as our sons. And that's pretty poignant, I think.
Mm. I love that message in Zephaniah 3:17 that he sings over us. And also, I was just thinking about what you've both said sounds so familiar. I've talked on the show before about just people going on mission trips or finally taking that step to give in whatever it is that they are called to give in, that they feel pushed to give in. And it's not always financial resources, but it may just be, I'm going to do what I think God is calling me to do. And the blessing that comes back is actually how he changes them, not necessarily in what it is that you have given. And it sounds like you're both communicating that exact same message, that the change not only occurred in the lives of the children who you are bringing over, but in you and in your families as well. Is that true?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think in terms of, you know, the I am third model, I think God is honored by all of these families in this organization that are doing it. I mean, there's over 200 kids here from Ukraine and Latvia for this winter hosting. Each one of those families, in my mind, are honoring God. Each one of those families are blessing those children and having an impact on those kids. And third, it's the impact that it's having on us.
Well, and it's impacting our children as well. My children have a completely different mindset about what is and what really is, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. Tell me a little bit about more how that process works, Paige. What if someone were interested in hosting some children for a winter or a summer program?
You know, the first step, honestly, is just to go to the website and click on the thing that says, the link that says, I'm interested in being a host family.
And how do they get to that website?
www.p143.com.
No, .org, I think.
p143.com works to the link, too. We have both website addresses, so thank you, Tony, for that one, too. It's p143.org as well. So you can click on either website. It'll bring up our page. And look under the link for hosting. And all you have to do is fill out your name and your email address, and you will be sent the photo listing for the next hosting. It is not a commitment to host. It is simply an opportunity for you to look and see what's available. So the next step after that is to send us or call us and get more information about what hosting is and how to actually go about it. There is a detailed listing link on the website as well that explains it and the costs that are associated with it and the requirements for it. And it is not hard. Mm. It's as simple as having a background check done at your home. It's not a home study per se. It's just a quick background check and paying the funds for the hosting fees.
Okay. And do you get to choose where those children come from, or can you choose an age, or can people be specific, or how does that work?
There are lots of opportunities for both. And yes, you may choose. You would look at the photo listing for Ukraine or for Latvia or for both, whichever you're interested in. And then you pick which child you'd like to host out of the available children that are there. And one of the things about P143 is unique about us is we share a photo listing with another agency. And occasionally we will communicate with them to help more children be hosted. This is P143 is the only hosting agency that I know that does this, just to show that their hearts are for the kids, to get as many kids hosted as we can in each session. We want to share information with the other hosting agencies so that we can all work together to get these kids into homes and have experiences with God.
And this is a Christian organization, correct?
It's correct. It is a Christian organization. But our organization, the mission is about the children. Our requirement is not that you be a Christian to host these children in your homes. That's not what it says in the Bible. We're called as a ministry to serve these children, but we're not called to require your walk with God to be perfect to do it.
Mm. Great point. And if someone were interested in having someone for summer, when would they need to start this process going?
You can start the process as early as the photo listing comes out in February, but you may sign up right now to ask to have the photo listing sent to you as soon as it's available. Our team takes a trip in January to go interview all the children and make the photo listing up. And as soon as the photo listing is available, if you've given us your email address, it will be sent to you immediately. And at that point, you can put down a deposit and commit to hosting whichever child you choose.
And where do the children come from? So how do they become available to be hosted?
Well, the ministry and the Orphan Court of Latvia and works together with the hosting ministries to make these children available when our teams go over and do interviews in the orphanages and the foster care families there. So your child could be coming from foster care or they may be coming from an orphanage, but those are the two places where they come from in either Latvia or Ukraine.
Okay. All right, great information. We're finding out a little bit about Project 143. It is a child hosting organization. So for families here in the U.S. to be able to host children from a couple different places, from Latvia as well as
Ukraine,
thank you, and starting in China. They're working on that as well. So if you'd like to learn more about this organization, maybe you have a little nudging in your heart to be able to host some children in your home on either winter or summer, give us a call if you have a question. 877-933-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We're going to hear about more about Tony's story and Paige's story of how the Lord has been moving in their lives through hosting children. From Christian recording artist John Waller, and he is also involved in hosting children and has adopted, correct?
That's
adopted
correct.
A child as well, or two? I can't remember. Anyway, John just wrote another song called Orphan that is going to be coming out soon as just a testimony of what hosting children has done in the lives of their family as well. So great story that he has to tell as well. Today we're talking about Project 143. It's an orphan host program that pairs orphan children to live with American families for a 4 to 8 week experience of a lifetime. Today I have two families who participated in this hosting program. They're sharing their stories with us. Maybe you've felt called at some point to do something for a child, but you're really not ready to adopt a child from another country. This is just a great opportunity to be able to show God's love and care to orphans who may live somewhere else for just a short period of time, to just show them the love that you may have in your family. So we're talking a little bit about that today. Might be a great opportunity for you. And if you want to know more information, you can go to a website, www.project143.com, and you can look at that and get more information, or you can just listen to our show. We've been talking quite a bit about it. I have Paige here, and Paige is the Midwest Regional Coordinator. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, we've been talking about hosting, we've been talking about adoption. Can they be mutually exclusive, or can you do one without doing the other?
You can absolutely do one without the other. We have lots of families who do not ever actually want to adopt. And we have lots of families who are completely adoption-minded when they start, and some families who start by hosting and move into adoption. One of the best things that we can do for these kids is bring them over here, show them a loving family, and advocate for their lives. We put feet to our faith and really pour into them in ways that they're not getting just sitting in an orphanage every day. Hosting is a wonderful way for your family to show a child or a sibling set God's love and how a family operates and loves one another. I realize 4 weeks seems like a short time, but the change in these children from the day they get here to the day they go back is amazing. And so hosting is a fabulous way to start. Even if you never wanted to adopt a child, you can bring a child over and host them for the period of time and then advocate, introduce them to your faith family, introduce them to your friends, have a little party and invite people over to meet the child from another country. It's a fantastic opportunity.
Is there any kind of language barrier? Do some of the children speak English? Is there a huge barrier? Tony's smiling over here because he just drove three kids home from Chicago. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the program is, they need to have chaperones come with them. And so the program, this hosting period, we're the only family in Minnesota. And so as a consequence, the arrival and departure city was in Chicago. We're very hopeful that this will lead to making Minneapolis-St. Paul an arrival and departure destination, that we can get enough families interested and involved. But the kids that we are hosting now are from Latvia. The oldest, who's 9, actually speaks Latvian, Russian, and Gypsy. But they primarily speak and understand Russian. So the other kids that we've hosted, we've experienced that before. Jody has spent a lot of time trying to learn Russian phrases. I've picked up a lot less than she has, but enough to get by. But you start with charades, you know, and you show them things. If it's time for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you show them a banana, and they nod or they shake their head, or and you go from there. So you kind of, and like you know, Paige said, 4 weeks later, you will be stunned by how much they know, understand, pick up. And I think they get it out of the gate, too.
Well, In Latvia especially, most people are bilingual or multilingual. They speak many different languages, and the children are taught English in the schools once they're seven or eight. As soon as they get into first grade, they are taught English as well as Latvian. The Russian is also a big part of their language and their community. So most of them speak multiple languages to begin with. They're usually a little hesitant to speak the English words that they know when they first get here. But immersion is a fantastic way for children to learn English. And so by the time they go home, they're quite multilingual.
So if children are here during the winter months when school is going on, do they attend school? How does that work?
No, they do not attend school. One of the particulars in the agreement is that they do not attend school and they stay with the host family the whole time. My particular experience with this is we have a little girl with us. And so for the first week before break, she's been spending the days with me and we've been having a great time without her siblings, if you will. Over Christmas break, everyone will be home. And then the last week before she goes back again, she'll have straight up mommy time during the day while the other kids are at school.
And what are some of the things that you do when you have the children here?
Well, we've been inside, we've been outside, you know, kids have been sledding, playing in the snow. And we also are, you know, another one of our many blessings is that we have horses. And so Jody has taken primarily the two girls out with our daughter and got them up on a pony. So that's pretty cool. But otherwise, you know, we have our own bio kids range from 7 to 27, and we have 27 plus years of Legos. Mm-hmm. And the boy that has come enjoys playing with the Lego. So we've done that. And then, you know, watch movies, have popcorn, you know, just fun stuff.
Regular things that you would do with your family.
That's exactly what we try to experience with them. It's lovely to take them to see the Nutcracker over the winter holiday, but none of that's a requirement. What they really need to see is families sitting down and eating dinner together and playing games together in the evenings, reading stories, talking about the Bible stories. Those sort of things are the most impacting for their hearts, the time spent.
And what about the faith background of the children who are coming here? Has that ever been an issue?
Latvia,
does that matter? There's no requirement?
No, there's no requirement. Latvia is a Christian country for the most part. I'm not sure about Ukraine. Every child we've ever had here had some experience as to who God was, but didn't really have a deeper understanding.
Right. And, that's there when we pray at the beginning of mealtime, they eventually, you know, I think these kids were first, they didn't know exactly what we were doing, but now they get it. And, you know, and they, you know, maybe they're playing along. I think they're picking up what we're talking about. We keep it short and simple. And
our lovely daughter likes to pray in English and then again in Latvian.
Oh, nice.
When it's her turn.
So if a family, we talked a little bit about you can just host without ever wanting to adopt. What if a family who hosts does decide that they'd like to adopt those children? Is that part of what Project 143 does, or can you help in that process?
Yes. Project 143 is more than happy to refer you to a couple of agencies that we work with that are adoption agencies, but it is also perfectly acceptable to have an adoption agency of your own that you would like to work with, and we will happily work with them as well.
Okay. And how long? Is that a long process?
It is by child.
Okay.
It really is an experience by child thing. Our adoption took about 18 months from seeing them for the first day of hosting till when we finalized. So it actually went very fast.
Okay. And I think there's different pieces of that process. Mm-hmm. If you're going down that road, and you know, we are currently what's referred to as I-800A approved. So we're approved by the U.S. to adopt up to three kids from ages 4 to 14. And there's a process to put all that paperwork together, submit the paperwork, and then you wait a little bit, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then that comes back. So there's different pieces of it that, you know, take some time, and some feel longer than others and are actually longer than others.
But it's true.
So how big of a role did your faith personally play into you deciding to do this, Tony?
I think our faith played a great role into it. And I think it's, you know, like I said, we have kids 7 to 27. On one level, this makes no sense from an earthly perspective, from a non-faith-based perspective. Why would I want to do this? I'm in my late 40s. It doesn't, to a lot of people, doesn't add up. They look at you a little funny, or they look at you and they say, you're amazing, right? It's like what we've come to realize, and what I hope people understand, is that we're really not that amazing. We just stepped into a space, and we're continuing to step into a space that God has called us to do. We're not 100% certain where it's all headed, but we're just stepping forward, you know, and taking it as it comes. And absent faith, absent, you know, our growth, our, you know, our story of faith, we wouldn't be here today doing these things.
And how about you, Paige? Same. How did your faith play into you continuing to do this?
It's funny because we always knew that this is something we wanted to do. So pouring out for the orphan and pouring out in adoption specifically was something we always wanted to do. The fact that I know that God says that we're supposed to take care of the orphan and the widow just confirms for me that we're doing the right thing. I also believe that my faith has enabled me to hold it open-handedly. It was never about which child came into our home. He pushed for, you know, certain, yes, this one, but it was always about what he wanted for the child. So it made it easier to be able to listen to God and hear what he wanted us to do. So.
Well, and I think to listen and to ultimately surrender, you mm-hmm. know, the difference between myself and my wife. My wife was ready long ago, big heart, tender heart. She saw the need. She knew what Scripture said, and she was ready to go. So hosting for us has grown my faith, in particular, to grow my heart, to make my heart tender, to get to this point, to be willing to do this. Because, again, I mean, to be someone who comes probably more from a selfish kind of self-reliant, successful type of perspective, I didn't, you know, at some point in my life, I didn't need God. I didn't, you know, but God got my attention primarily through my father's passing 12 years ago and caused me to, you know, question, you know, deep spiritual things and explore those things and go down this road. And my wife was already going down the road where, because family life was just kind of meh, you know, just kind of, it wasn't hitting on all cylinders. And so she started seeking God out on her own accord. And so ultimately, we kind of grew at this together to the point where, you know, there's different pieces of the story where my heart slowly gets tender enough so that ultimately this earlier this year, I'm the one looking at the list. I'm the one seeing the faces where it starts to mess with me. Mm-hmm. And the thing, when I looked at that list earlier this year, what I started to see is I recognized people that I knew. Say, for example, you know, wasn't you, but say it was you, in these faces of these little kids. And what got to me, and this is the part where I might just go to radio silence, is that I started to see their future, is that if they just had someone to give them a shot, what would that be? And if they didn't have that shot, where would that be? We've seen blogs, we've seen videos, the stats for kids that age out of the orphanage and the things that happen to them are, in a word, horrible. So if we can step into that space and give them some hope and alter their future, then we ought to do that.
And I would say, too, especially in my family, my husband's biggest hang-up was we don't have the money. We have three children. How could we ever afford to even host these children? And I literally went to the store and bought a container of mustard seed and set it on the kitchen counter because I knew that he was telling us to do this. And I knew that he was telling us that he would provide everything we needed to do it. And he did. And our faith got us through that part.
And how has that changed the way that you make decisions on other aspects of your life?
It has absolutely given us the faith, made our faith much stronger to believe for what the Lord wants and to follow his heart, that he'll follow through to make it come to fruition. Mm.
And it seems like that would be a message that you would want your children to learn as well.
Absolutely.
Well, we're talking today about Project 143. It's a host program providing orphans with a 4 to 8 week experience, either in summer or winter, where a family here in the U.S. invites that orphan child to live in their home, to experience being part of a family. Host families have the opportunity to share their values and their beliefs and their culture, as well as learn something very valuable from that experience as well. And you've heard that firsthand from both Tony and from Paige. We're going to talk a little bit more about that and what that means for our Christmas season coming up on Connecting Faith.
Real, lasting encouragement for life's ups and downs.
On that day, I turned the radio on, sitting there with no hope left. And this topic came up on co-parenting. I thought, well, now here we go. This is like a sign. What are the odds of this, right? Awesome coaching job and the prayers and all that and the people that called in. I was driving down the road in tears. I think by tuning in, it puts things in perspective.
Highlighting real hope every day. Faith Radio.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. This past year has been an amazing year of changed lives, of people who've grown deeper in their faith because of you. Your prayerful support of this ministry really is making a difference in the Upper Midwest. The truth is, we can't do it without you, and we wouldn't even want to try. Thank you for your year-end gift to Faith Radio to help us finish 2013 strong and position ourselves for a fresh new year. God bless you. Thank you for giving.
Great song from John Waller, Blessing, and he is also involved in hosting children from other countries in his own home and has just made a great testimony of that as well, just the difference that it's made in their lives and in the lives of his own children as well. We are talking today with a couple of families who have hosted orphans from Latvia and in their homes for a 4 to 8 week time frame, and just talking about those experiences and how it has not only changed them and their biological children, but how it has changed the way that they look at who God is, the way he can provide, and the gift that he is. We are talking about Christmas now and just talking about all the gifts that we can give people, and what a great gift that you'd be able to give to an orphan who has not experienced the wonderful gift and experience of being with a family. So talking about an organization called 143, Project 143, and it was originally started to account for the 143 million orphans worldwide, but that number has risen. How do we have a total of what that number might be?
It's over
143.
It's way over 143.
That's what we know. We've been talking a lot about why someone might want to do this, but I'd love, Paige, if you could tell us a little bit about, people may be thinking or listening today thinking, hey, I think I'd like to do that, but I don't have the money, or I'm single, or I have grown children, or I already have six little children. What are some ways that you could encourage people that really anyone could do this?
My best encouragement is to say, step out first. Open the website. Take a peek at what's there. The children there, some of them have grants applied to their hosting. Some of these older children who are on their 14 or 15 getting ready to age out of the orphanage, this may be their very last chance to come. And they may have a grant. Say you could only afford $500 less than what the hosting costs are. Possibly there's a child already there with a grant that you could host and bring here. What if you had neighbors who were interested in hosting and you could sponsor them? You have the finances but not the capacity to bring a child here. We certainly take donations and grants for all the children on every photo listing that there is. We would be most grateful for any help bringing all these kids here when we can. If a child is hosted or paid for their hosting, we will find a family to spend with them for the holidays or for the summer.
What have been some of the stories of people who have come? I know Tony and I were just talking about how sometimes a couple of children will come and be hosted by one family, and they'll actually end up being adopted by another family.
We have several of those stories in our histories and testimonials on our website, and you can go to our website and look at each one of those testimonials. They're gut-wrecking. They really are refreshing in your faith to see that a child can come and stay with a family for 5 weeks over the summer, get introduced to someone at a birthday party or at Sunday school, and the family, I really thought that kid was so cute when they were here. Are they available for adoption? Yes, they are, and they welcome them into their home. It's some amazing inspirational stories have come out of just these hosting programs.
And Tony, you do have several biological children, correct?
Correct.
So is that why people say you might be crazy? Wait, that wasn't the word you used.
I think it is the word crazy.
Yes.
It could.
What do you say to them?
I think some people, they see that and they think, you know, I've raised my kids. I've done my job. I'm done. And I don't think that, you know, that's not our mentality in our house. And again, starts with my wife, grows on me, that says, you know what, we have a 7-year-old at home. We're going to be in this parenting business for a while longer. Why not? Let's do that. You know, let's
explore. People tell me once you have 3 that you might as well just add 6 more.
It's true.
And look, you just did that.
Right. You go to a zone defense. You know, you kind of do the best you can. And you, but it is just, I guess the one thing that I thought about, you know, yeah, take that step. What Paige said is take that step, go out on that list. And chances are, I guess, from my story, it's on one of your hearts. If you're a married couple, it's on one of your hearts. Maybe not both, but take that step. The one that has it on their heart, be patient. That's what my wife did for me. She was patient. And let it grow. But don't let it sit and fester and do nothing. Do something.
It's a great way to make a difference. People talk all the time, oh, I'd really like to do something. This is a great way to do something. You bringing a child into your home, even for 4 weeks, you are really doing something for 4 weeks. Whether you intend to adopt them into your home or not, you've made a lasting impact into their life. You've made a lifelong friend of a child, and they have a lifelong friend in you. That's some pretty amazing testimony right there unto itself.
I think about like the child that we sponsor through World Vision, and we have his picture, and we can pray for him, and we can send him things, but we're not going to see him. So this is just that next step.
It's exactly right. It's a great way to maintain a hands-on contact with a child and really have impact in that way.
Right. And that's front and center. It's right in your living room. It's right in your backyard. I mean, we know, you know, another family that hosted this summer, they actually were planning to take a mission trip somewhere and had saved up some money, and their kids had saved up some money. And then we presented this, you know, opportunity to them as far as, you know, and I just, her name came to mind. I called her up. I said, this is what we're doing. I just want to clue you in on what's up. And they sat down as a family and decided to, in essence, turn that mission trip around and do their mission trip right in their own home.
And so I've been asked the question of what if I want to host a child who already lives in the U.S.? Do I need to host a child from a different country? What are the benefits from bringing someone in from another country?
As far as I know, the best way to host a child in the United States would be to be in the foster care system. And it's a little bit more of a longer term extended program if you host through the foster care system in the United States. I personally believe that every child needs a chance. And if it's on your heart to host someone here in the United States, absolutely become a foster family. It is so important to pour into these kids. And at P143, we try very hard to make it about the children going into loving homes, learning about their own value, their own self-worth, and just showing them that someone cares. Currently, we don't have the availability to do that with the foster kids here in the United States. I wish we did. I think the foster care system's broken in every country, and this is just a great way to step out and bring children who won't have this chance in their country. There is not, because they are so small in Ukraine and in Latvia, there is not a chance for them to get this sort of thing there.
Well, a lot of people may never come to the U.S., and they get to do it for 4 weeks.
Pretty exciting to a young kid to come to America.
Sure. So how will Christmas look different at your house this year, Tony?
Christmas will look different, you know, just physically. There'll be a lot more kids, you know, a lot more presents under the tree. But where it will have some extra excitement, we've also made very specific decisions to keep it more low-key, because these kids are a half a world away from home. They don't speak the language. You know, who knows what kind of trauma that they have experienced and the challenges that they've experienced. Try not to overwhelm them. So on one level, it's going to be, the house is going to have a really cool extra buzz, but on another level, we're just kind of staying closer to home.
I would say we have the same experience at our house. Our little girl was here over the summer as well, so she's rehosted for Christmas. But this will be her first Christmas in America, and my children wanted less. They wanted practically nothing so that they could give her things that she could experience and have. That's pretty impacting to teach your children how to walk out their faith with God and their walk with Christ, pouring into an orphan.
Sure. And when it comes to putting fewer things on their list in order to provide that, that is truly the lesson of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That is very special. If you are interested in learning more about this organization, P143, give us a call. If you want to ask a question, we have two families who've experienced it, and we'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. You can also go to their website, which is project143writtenout.com, and find out more information. We can certainly give you that. Otherwise, one of the other questions that I wanted to ask is, if this is something that you can only do, say, in the summer, when can you start picking your child?
February.
Okay.
Early February.
So they should get going right now if it's something that you're interested in summer.
Absolutely. As soon as the photo listing comes out in February, we would be blessed to have you start looking into it then. I would also like to say that for hosting programs, you are not alone when your child comes over here. We do have chaperones in the country who speak their language, who you can be in constant contact with. A chaperone can stay in your home during the hosting period for part or all of it. It's up to you. You are not alone with families who will help pour into your experience or your troubles with the experience. If you have questions or concerns, there are people available all the time, 24 hours a day, to help you walk this out with any of the questions or concerns you might have.
I was reading that on your website that they may want to stay for a day or two, or bring the kids over, help you for maybe a day before you are all on your own, so you're not just sent off with no skills whatsoever.
Yes. Yes. We're available. We have chaperones available to do that for you.
Okay. And bringing the kids over, does that chaperone fly with those children to get here, or how does that work?
We do. That is factored into administrative costs, and we fly two chaperones with each group of children. I would say for every 10 children, there's one chaperone on the plane.
Okay, because this might be the first plane trip for these children ever, correct?
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. And it's really long. 13 hours on a plane is a very long time for a child.
And then another 5 hours in the car, right, Tony?
A little more than that, from Chicago to home. Yeah, yeah. So, and we will have the chaperone stay with us at the end of our experience from the 4th to the 12th. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, if you are looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, you may not be able to do this particular gift for this Christmas, but you can think about it for next year. Check out project143.com. You can host some children, orphans, in your home for 4 to 6 weeks, either in the Christmas season or in the summer. So give it some thought. Maybe God's nudging at your heart right now for something new and unique to do, to host an orphan in your home. We've been talking about Project 143 today. I want to thank both Paige and Tony for talking about their experiences and wish you a very Merry Christmas. Have a great day.